If you spend time in just about any neighborhood, you've probably seen plastic signs in bright white or neon yellow attached to utility poles and along freeway exits with big, bold print that reads, "We buy houses," or "Fast cash for homes." We saw them on several walks through Cleveland's 8th Ward on reporting trips. Well, Justin Glanville from member station WCPN in Cleveland met up with a guy who's on a mission to tear those signs down as a way of stopping what he calls the exploitation of his neighborhood.
We buy homes as creepy as this sign. Dollar sign, dollar sign, dollar sign. Dollar sign, dollar sign, dollar sign. It's mine.
One morning a few weeks ago, Brandon Kirsch was out to breakfast with his girlfriend. She had a volleyball game afterward, so Brandon decided to walk home.
And in those 8 blocks, I came across 8 of these signs, and I said, well, you know what? I'm gonna tear that down. And so before you know it, I kind of look like this lunatic walking down the street, climbing over fences and like guardrails for cars to rip these things down around I-90.
The 36-year-old data analyst has kept at it ever since. He's on a self-assigned mission to rid his neighborhood, the southern part of Ohio City, of signs that he sees as taking advantage of low-income homeowners who don't think they have many other options.
You know, I use the phrase strip mining our neighborhood, the reducing the stock of available homes. They're profiting extremely off of the perceived value of this neighborhood. And while they're doing all of these things that negatively impact the neighborhood, they go around and they're nailing these signs, basically trashing up the place. Let's take a right here.
On a sunny Saturday, he invites me to join him on a collecting expedition. Brandon takes long, purposeful strides. Underneath his short, dark hair, his eyes scan for those hated rectangles of corrugated plastic.
So we're at the intersection here at West 44th and I-90. There's an exit ramp. There's a sign over there. It's going to be a little dangerous, but I'm going to go take that down. Watch yourself.
The guardrails and utility poles framing the exit are like a sign party. Signs stapled on top of other signs, even. All jostling for the attention of drivers.
So this is pretty beat up from the wind. It looks like it's going to come down really easily. I'm just going to reach up there and give it a yank. There's another one right underneath of it. They're both mine now.
After about half an hour, Brandon's arms are full. He walks me back to his townhouse, where his garage floor is already covered with signs from previous hauls. He thinks out loud about why this has become a way he spends his time.
Throughout the winter isolation and having nothing to do, I spent a lot of time just cleaning up the inside of the house, fixing it up. It's really nice in there, and I'm really, really happy with what we have here. So now I'm looking at what's next. How do I improve my house next? Well, it's not an improvement in my house. It's an improvement in my neighborhood. This cash for house stuff, to me, is a really big problem for somebody. You know, that's not a little trash in their yard. That is a keepsake that's been in their family for generations that's now being stripped of them. So when I pull out a sign, I feel slightly better about myself. It was really satisfying.
And Justin Glanville of WCPN joins us now. Justin, welcome.
Thank you, Robin. Great to be here.
Well, and you know, we saw these signs in Ward 8 in Cleveland as well. People see them across the country. Is it even legal to post these?
Yeah, in most cases it is not. But it's not because of what the signs say, but where they're posted. So telephone poles, which are one of the places you see them most often, those, of course, are owned usually by cities or utility companies. So putting anything on private property like that is illegal. And then even in tree lawns and guardrails, those are also places that are usually owned by cities, so it's illegal to post signs there either. But you don't see these rules enforced too often. I'm sure, Robin, you've seen political campaign signs pop up in all of those places during elections, and those folks are obviously not usually getting hauled into court.
Yeah, it sounds like these signs are aiming for people trying to hold on to homes. So who are the companies behind the signs?
I did happen to talk to two guys in their 20s named Andrew Dunn and Tyler Powell. They met in college and just started their company Capital Growth Group last year. And Robin, Andrew Dunn told me that while his company is not for everyone, he knows that, he sees the We Buy Houses signs as a way to reach people who don't have a lot of other options.
It's maybe someone who is about to foreclose on their home, or the repairs have gotten to a point where they simply can't afford to do that. We can offer a solution to that person. You know, we can buy their house in cash in a reasonable amount of time.
And aside from the signs, he and Tyler also cold call people and knock on doors looking for people who want to sell their houses.
However, you spoke to people who say there's other options?
Yeah, a lot of people would say that working through a company like this is not the best way to sell your house if you're looking to get out from under it. For example, if you have inherited a house and you can't afford to keep up with the repairs, a lot of folks would say that the best way to get a decent price on that house would be to work through the traditional real estate system. A lot of housing advocates also told me that you've got to think about the effect that selling at these really low prices have on the surrounding neighborhood. Because when you sell a house for a really low amount, that then becomes a comparable sale for appraisers who are looking to give values to other homes. So it can really bring down the housing prices and the sales prices for a whole neighborhood.
And you also found out there may be programs in your area that might help you pay that mortgage rather than have to sell the house.
Right. Like here in Cleveland, we have a program called the Healthy Homes Initiative, where every neighborhood has a representative who works for the city who can help you get access to capital for things like putting a new roof on your house or getting new paint or windows.
And there's also a cautionary tale here, because you spoke to someone who actually bought one of these homes through a different company, not the one run by the two young men. They didn't have that great an experience.
Yeah, so and that's kind of the other side of the situation. So I spoke with a woman named Shalonda Dixon. She bought the house for $500 down, and then she paid $500 a month for it. She kept up with those payments to the LLC, and she thought that they included her property taxes, but it turned out that they did not. So she owed $12,000 in back taxes. Fortunately, she was able to work with a neighborhood group to stay in her house, but she says she really wants her story to be a cautionary tale for folks not to get caught up in that dream of owning a home.
Justin Glanville of member station WCPN in Cleveland, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.